Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Is the United States at the precipice of destruction? What a way to start a program, right? But we've all heard the stories about the Roman Empire, how they rose to greatness and then fell over time and until they were no more. We've heard the comparisons that the United States has been following the same patterns and how some say history is repeating itself. Is all of that true? Some say God would never let this happen. The United States is a nation formed by people that loved God and God's blessings. And my response is always, so is Israel. Yet he let them get overrun and dispersed across the globe when they left off from following him. Our friend Tom Don is back today. Tom always brings a timely perspective to current events that we see in the news. And if you go back and listen, say the past year or so, to our episodes where Tom's been on the program, you'll be amazed at how accurate things are that you hear right now. The progression of events is getting darker and darker. Things we talked about a year and a half or 2 years ago have either happened or are in the process of happening right now. Could it be the things we talked about recently and we'll talk about today will come to pass in the very near future? We'll see. We've all been talking about the convergence factor for several months now, and things are happening faster and faster and at the same time as other things. Could this be the beginning of the end for the United States as we've known it? For some perspective on this, let's welcome back to the program, Tom Downing. Tom, thanks for coming back on the program today.
Oh, Pastor Bob, we always have a lot of fun. I know that I say that, but it's true. You know, it's pretty much start off the program with that fact. And today's topic is going to be pretty interesting because I'll tell you what, I usually try to hold back a little bit on my prophetic side because, you know what, it can get me in trouble. Is that a surprise to you, you know?
Nah, we're two dudes in the same rowboat on that one. I get in trouble all the time with stuff I say. Let's start where both of us have talked about this before, where the initial wake-up call began with September 11th, 2001, because I remember exactly where I was when these events began to unfold. I was just on the outskirts of D.C., traveling southbound on I-295 when the plane hit the Pentagon. I mean, actually, it was probably about 5 minutes or so after because the smoke was already billowing up. How about you? Where were you at?
Well, you had how would you say an activity to that? I didn't hear that.
It was only about a half a mile, maybe a mile away.
Yeah. Wow. So that was really real for you.
Yeah.
Yep. That was pretty amazing. So I was working that day and I was trying to figure out, I was at a hospital called Little Company of Mary. And I was on the ninth floor. I had some coworkers that were there and they were watching the TV in this rec room. And I'm thinking, what in the world? And then of course, people were glued to the TV around the world, right? Because you saw the events of the plane falling, flying into the World Trade Towers.
Yeah.
And so that was, it was shocking, right? And so you were glued to the TV, you know? I mean, it had to be something really important to be able to pull me away to be able to watch that. And I was devastated. And I never thought those towers were going to fall. Never thought. No, but when it collapsed and then something clicked inside of me and I realized, oh, this is like really serious. And it wasn't too long after that, I thought to myself, we've lost a huge part of our hedge of protection here in the United States. Because you know me, I like to think spiritually in every direction. And when this happened, I realized this happened because our protection was dropped for whatever reason. Because, you know, okay, in times past, God would send a prophet to the kings in the Old Testament and said, hey, they're about to attack you in this valley over here, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they would have insider information. I mean, so the United States has had thwarted other things in events in the past. Well, why not now? That's the question. Why not now? How did this actually happen to where it wasn't thwarted? And it comes down to that being a loss of a hedge of protection. Yeah. And I was devastated.
You've heard me talk about before that that would happen on, I believe, Tuesday. And the following Sunday, I was scheduled to be a guest speaker at a church. And I said at that time, I said, God had lowered our hedge of protection just for that one moment in time to try and catch our attention because of the sin that's been going on in this nation. And boy, has that rung true ever since.
Yeah. Yes, I like the way that you said that it was lowered for a little bit. And I totally agree with that. It was like, okay, let's get our attention. But then what did happen is that so let me bring in Jonathan Cahn's book, you know, The Harbingers. And what did he say is that when this happened to Israel, they used that scripture that was actually a defiant scripture that they actually used in Congress. Yep. And he's like going, oh, no, I can't believe they just did that.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
And so it wasn't a humbling thing. It should have been a humbling thing. And it wound up being a pride thing, you know, where it says, we're going to build up bigger and better. Right. And so, yeah, that didn't turn out really well.
And was it they removed one tree and put in a sycamore tree, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And do you know what they planted in the courtyard? The I think it's Peter's church. Was the church that wasn't even touched, even though it was right next door to the World Trade Center. A couple of minor trees fell down. One of them was the cedar tree that fell down, or maybe it was a sycamore, and they planted a cedar, but it might be the other way. I can't remember right now. But that was the tree that fell. And when they replaced the tree, it was with the one that you're talking about. That they said, you know, we'll replant with the cedar tree or the sycamore, whichever one the one they removed one, which was one that fell, yeah. And they put the one in that had the curse on it. That's the one they planted in that churchyard, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I went up to visit it and I said, I can't, the Bible says,
you know? Yeah. That's the amazing part about it.
You know?
Yeah, so are we a haughty nation? Or are we a prideful nation? Most likely.
Oh,
no,
because
we've been blessed, been a superpower. We have all this money, and it has affected us to our thinking and our pride. And so, but you know what God does with prideful people? We were humbled on that day in a big way.
Right.
And it was devastating. People that were there were, you know, just the horrors of it. There's some of the stuff they don't even show. They haven't showed.
Yeah.
No. Because it was just so bad.
Yep. And then, you know, naturally they shut the stock market down. And when it reopened the following week, I mean, just the biggest crash since, you know, the Great Depression up to that time. And that caused one of the biggest, you know, biggest bailouts of all time up to that point in time. Only dwarfed by the financial collapse of 2008. And then the COVID relief packages that we see now. But, I mean, this nation since 2001 has just been spending money left and right. I should say printing money left and right. I mean, it'd be like us. Oh, I need to make my house payment. I don't have the money. So I go downstairs to the copy machine and just print out several sheets of $100 bills and use that to pay my house payment. That's all the government's doing. They have no backing on the money that they're distributing right now. None at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got pretty concerned when I heard the president talk about President Bush talking about getting a loan from overseas. I think it was something like $40 billion to rebuild a tower. And when I heard that, I knew that was a financial hit. That's another hit in the wrong direction. First, we were compromised and our security, we were hit home, you know, and now the financial part is starting to be degraded, you know, in this way. And of course, it was like the beginning of this downward slide that we're seeing.
Yeah. Exactly. That was I won't say the first step because they were in debt before that, but then nothing like the scale we see now. One senator says something along the line, you know, trillion here, trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking real money.
Okay.
But anyway, let's talk about some of the dreams that you've had over the last several years that are, shall we say, taking the form of coming to pass.
Okay. All right. Sure. You know, this is where I get into a little bit of concern because, you know, prophetic people can sometimes have problems, you know, with accuracy. You know, because sometimes what happens is that you see so far out in the future that the people will say, well, that hasn't happened. And sometimes it'll take 25 years. Who was that? There's been some prophets. I can't think of his name right now. That it took more than 25 years to what he had mentioned that he had seen in a dream or a vision. So having prefaced with that, then we'll step into this and we'll go back to 2010. I had met Pastor Phil Corbett had brought me to Gonzales, Texas, and for a conference for pastors. And I had spoken at that conference, but the Lord had prepared me for a couple that was there that was under horrible spiritual attack. Now, that's where the adventure starts, because I don't know who these people are, but I know they're coming across my path. And so the second day into the conference, this Pastor Jim shows up, and him and his wife, and it was like, bingo, it's this guy, but I don't know that I know, right? So I eventually get around to it, because up to this time, I was like really shy, because how do you walk up to somebody and say, hey, are you having bad spiritual warfare in your life, right? You know, and so I finally got around to it, and his eyes get big, you know, like saucers, and eventually we went off to the side, and we wound up praying over that. And that opened up the door for Phil and I to come to his church. Now, Phil couldn't come until Monday, but I was speaking in his church on Sunday, which was awesome. A little country church. There was just a handful of people there, but it was an opportunity because I was going to have an extraordinary event take place. Now, this would freak most people out, mind you. Okay, so here it is, February 2010, and he likes to get to know the people that are going to have his pulpit, so we're in his office on Saturday night, and we're swapping God stories. You and I swap God stories all the time, right? Amen. So we're swapping God stories for 2 hours, and he's sitting on the couch. He gave me the honor of sitting in his chair, and there's about 3 feet between our feet, right, as we're looking at each other. And off of his top bookshelf comes flying a book, right? It's like catapulted. All by itself, yeah. It's catapulted off the shelf, and it does like a comes straight out and then does a little curve and falls right down between our feet. And I look at Jim and I tell him, I says, hey, if it was anybody else, they'd be running for the door. All right. So I leaned over and I picked it up, and it was a copy of a book called The Summary of the Declaration of Independence in the Constitution of the United States by Dr. D. James Kennedy, right? And I looked at him and I said, Jim, I think we got a message. But what is it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I put the book down. I wound up taking a picture of it because I was going to put it in my first book, Healing the Nation, and I wasn't able to get permission to be able to use it. So then the message was, okay, what in the world does this mean, right? And eventually I got the message. The message is that because it was a summary of these two things, right? When the Constitution falls, it's the beginning of the end. Mm-hmm. The exile, what we've been talking about in the pre-interview, the exile begins with the falling of the Constitution. Okay. And so that was like really scary, because this is like happening like right now. We're watching this.
We're watching the Constitution's under attack. It is.
Severe attack, yes. There are those that are saying, hey, I'm not paying attention, and they seem to be in leadership. And then you got those that some in leadership that are trying to do something, but one side seems to get away with whatever they want to do.
Yep.
So Amen. That comes back to the justice scales that has been coming up in different conversations. All right, so that was the beginning of this. Now, when I went home, we had some really good meetings there, Pastor Phil and I. And so when I went home, it began. That's when I started to have these dream experiences that God was giving me. And so the first one that I had, now I've said this on other programs, and it's kind of like the Apostle Paul says, I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body, but I saw this, I experienced this, I felt this. And so the Lord brought me somewhere. And when he brought me somewhere, I was a slave. I was a slave in a home of elitists. There was another man and a woman. The woman was our handler. And we stood there at attention until they needed something. We were serving them dinner. Their house was white. Everything was white. It was kind of like colonial type of cabin trees and stuff. And as I can still see this really clear. This is 11 years later, you know? Yeah. And so I'm standing there, and you can't do anything that's deviated from it, because they have ultimate authority over your life. You mess up and you're dead. Literally, you're dead. All right. So it was after the cleanup area. I'm in the kitchen, and I'm trying to talk to this guy. I'm trying to talk to him so we can plan to escape. And he's saying, don't talk to me. He says, it's too dangerous. Don't even talk to me. So my whole time is that I'm dying inside because I lost my freedom. I was pulled from my family. I don't know what happened with them. And I am their captive because if I don't do what they say, literally come back to that, I will be killed. And so I'm consumed, entirely consumed with regaining my freedom. And then the Lord returns me to my bedroom, right? And then I cry out in gut-wrenching prayers for 3 hours. I couldn't stop the tears. I couldn't stop the gut-wrenching prayers and saying, Lord, please don't ever allow this to happen. And so it was changing, life-changing, that event. So now it comes up to the question like 11 years later, right? Okay, so as an interruption to the others that I've seen, is God's answer to prayer? Yes, no, and wait, right?
That's right, yep.
Okay, so I know yes answers, and I love those. I'm not crazy about the no answers, and the wait answers are they no answers, or are we going to be waiting? You know, it's kind of hard to say until there's a fulfillment, or you go so far past it and it actually happens. This is where I'm wondering right now, because I have pleaded with God that this wouldn't happen, but look at how far we are down the road.
That's right. Right? That's right. Amen.
I'm always asking questions because what will actually turn this around? And we're getting down to it towards the bottom of our outline, right? Because this is like absolutely serious. And I always reference the book of Amos because of the book of Amos, they blew him off, the leadership blew him off. And eventually God said, okay, I've given you this time to turn around and you didn't. And then they went into exile, right? It was horrible, horrible exile, right? And so, but if they knew the price that they were going to pay, they would have, I'm sure they would have turned around, right? Okay, so I know the price we're going to pay if we don't turn around because I've lived it. You know, I'm telling you, it was traumatic. Sometimes when I see these things in vivid details of going down this road of seeing a collapse, I have a panic attack. Yeah, I have a panic attack like, oh no, this could actually be happening.
Yeah, amen. And you also had a dream about the United States being invaded, right?
Yeah. Now, during that dream, I mean, during that year, 2010, I probably had more than 90 dreams of what happens to the United States after the fall. And I remember, I think, 4 or 5 of them vividly. And one of the ones that, another one that was vivid is from the Gulf of Mexico. We were invaded by Russia. And they just walked right in because they had some kind of new technology, right? The new technology was like a shockwave that stunned people way, way far away. And all they did is just walked up and shot people, right? I saw tanks. I saw a woman, like a major. I saw the planes overhead as they invaded the area where I was at. And it was devastating because there was no resistance, none at all. They just came and they took over. Mm-hmm. And then there was another one where on the West Coast, on the edge of the Rocky Mountain, there was a platform, there was a stairway cut into stone, and I'm standing above these Chinese, like generals, high-ranking generals and colonels and stuff. Right, so I'm standing there, and I'm dying because I've been standing at attention for hours. I can't move because if I move, I could be in trouble. Right, and I'm watching all this military equipment going past me. All the soldiers, all this equipment, endless stream of equipment going by. Mm-hmm. And then that one ends. And then, of course, you know, more prayers after that. And then there was a time when I was actually in a portion of the military, and again, a slave. This was the U.S. So as I'm in there, I am again looking for my freedom, and I am in a changing room, like a locker room. And a telephone rings, and I answer the phone, and the guy goes, it's now or never, right? And I understand what he's telling me. So I haven't finished dressing. All I got is my pants and my socks and my shoes on. And I go down to his room where he opens up a door, and I step out into the night air, which is like 45, 50 degrees. And as I'm stepping out, he takes his shirt off to give it to me. And I can see myself running through the forest, trying to gain my freedom. And I can see my breath in the air as I'm running for my freedom. And then that's when that one ends. And then there was one where there was a portion of the United States that hadn't been taken over. But people were trying to get there. Now, this is the hard part. There was five couples that were trying to gain their freedom, but we knew if we went together, we wouldn't be able to be successful. Most likely, we would be noticed and recaptured. So we made this promise to each other that if we get out, we will wait for them, right? Because when you're desperate, you'll make all kinds of promises. Here's the problem, is that I did make it out. Me and my wife made it out. And then we got outside of the boundary line, and I stole a minivan, right? That's how desperate you are. I stole a minivan, and then I waited for my lifelong friend and his wife, right? I waited knowing that the enemy doesn't play by the rules. And if they come through this barrier that I came through, they can easily take us again. And gut-wrenching again, gut-wrenching feelings, I drove off and left my friend. I drove off. And it was devastating. Yeah, because I could never tell if he was going to make it out or not, but I had. And finally, I thought, I have to take care of my wife, and I have to get free. And I deserted him. That's how powerful it was to get my own freedom back. Yeah. Amen. It was so real. And so those were just a few of that year that I had encountered. And so what motivation to write a book, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And as we started the conversation here, understanding that when the Constitution falls, all of these things are able to come to pass. I mean, I think we're seeing the beginning of the end of the Constitution in America right now.
Yes, and it's terrifying. It's very terrifying.
Yep, amen. I mean, and then January 2011, you know, you had a dream where you were standing guard, right?
Yeah. Okay, so that's the first day, right? First day of January in the middle of the night. Is that my job is that I am a watchman on the wall for the border between the United States and Mexico. Now, if you've ever been down there, I've seen El Paso, right? You got the river that runs through there, and you have chain link fence, and then you got the river, and then you got the other side, and you got chain link fence and a razor wire, and it's like a couple blocks wide, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so my area didn't, in the stream, didn't have the river, right? But it had this same kind of scenario without the fences. We just had a watchman. Because there'd never been a problem before, right? So I'm in a tower that's probably about 15 feet high, wooden structure, and it's got a whiteboard on it so that if there is a problem, I can put a message and somebody with binoculars can read it in advance, right? So, but nothing ever happens. So I'm dilly-dallying. I'm going out there. I'm climbing the tower. I get up there. I got my lunch bag, you know, and I'm there. And all of a sudden, movement catches my eye. And I see this guy sauntering from Mexico into the United States. And I'm thinking, what in the world? And then I started to see this movement in the brushes, you know, the sagebrush, the 3 foot high brushes. And there were thousands of coyotes, literal coyotes. Now, to explain is that when I see in spiritual warfare terms, second level of spiritual warfare would be coyotes. So I see thousands of them. And then that scene, I can't even sound the alarm, right? It happens so fast, I can't sound the alarm. And that scene ends, and then I am in an attic of a church, which is the secret place, right? And I have the attic open for a little bit because we're there. We're huddled. The staff is huddled up there, and we're watching. We're watching the coyotes rush into churches. That's what they did first along the border and then progressing into the rest of the country. They rushed into the churches, and those that didn't have their secret place in God were ravaged, right? Because I could see in kind of like a vision what was happening to the other churches that didn't have the protection or didn't have that secret place in God, which means is that they had learned to rely on Jesus, just like we've been trying to get people's attention over the last year. That's you right. have to have Amen. That relationship with Jesus. And so he will prepare you for that secret place of his protection. And so that was the first and January 1st. And then we started to see this chaos taking place of this disorganization and disunity that, at least from my perspective, thereafter of what was happening in the churches.
Amen. And I think with what we see happening on the southern border right now, we are probably seeing portions of that dream come to pass right now, right before our eyes, because you don't know who's coming across.
No, we don't. And so the thing is that this was a demonic invasion, which means that people that had a lot of serious darkness in their lives, whatever was going to happen, or what would happen with them, is now being distributed all across the country. That's no,
right. That's right. Amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's portion of this interview with Tom Donnan. I'm telling you, every time Tom Donnan comes on, we end up discussing the end times scenarios, end times scriptures, and all of it relating to current events in the news. And today has been no exception. For us living in the United States right now, what we are witnessing should be horrifying, especially for those of us that grew up in an era where we had to study U.S. and world history. What we are witnessing is the destruction of constitutional freedoms right before our eyes. And it's as if nobody cares. The politicians are bowing to the will of our enemies and actually tearing up the documents in front of us. But the good news is, the Bible predicted all these things would be occurring just before the soon return of Jesus. Amen? Now, if you enjoyed our discussion today, I've got good news for you. This is only part one of a three-part discussion. Praise God. Tom has been sharing about dreams and visions the Lord's given him over the last several years, and it's uncanny how accurate they've been. And we can see them being played out every single night on the news. Amen? Well, anyway, be sure to come back tomorrow for part two. You will not want to miss it. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.